Quorum is present.
Karen Ward.
Greg Jones, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Kathy Aiken, present.
Conrad Parker, present.
And Mayor's here. Thank you very much. We have a quorum. And at this time, I'd like to have you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and ask our Park and Rec Director to lead us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bob. Are there any added agenda items for this session?
You got the one that we sent out. So it's not actually on the agenda, but it came out and got emailed out to you as an added agenda item. So I don't know if that's an added agenda item or...
This one is in.
Did you get that?
Is that the cooperative? I have it. Yeah. So that'll be added under the added agenda items.
Then the other ones are just, I'm under staff comments, I guess, on code enforcement. I'll just do it there.
Okay. Item 5 is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Approve the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a conflict of interest with the bill to release.
The comment of conflict is noted. Are there any further? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. We approved. At this time, we'll have public comments. Are there any public comments? Hearing none, I shall move right along. This is starting out pretty good. Item number 7. A memorandum of understanding for land transfer city, the Pine Park and Rec District, and the Deschutes County Library discussion. And I'll ask the city manager and staff.
Okay, I'll explain kind of why we're here. And then I'll have Senator White's representative, Wayne Kinney's here tonight, which is great. He came down. Plus, we have the executive director of the Parks District, two of the board members, and the director of the Deschutes County Library. He's come down. Actually, he's here all day, maybe. I mean, if he left, he came back. I was at a meeting, their board meeting at noon today, so. I brought this to you for a couple of reasons. One is to make sure you're aware. This is kind of something that's hung around for months and months and months, and I get different stories on different aspects of it. This MOU, which was drafted by your legal folks, Ken Jones from the Special District Association. Remember Ken, he worked with us. He worked with the districts a little bit when we were doing sewer and water stuff, plus he's done a lot of work for fire departments. But this, of course, involves, and I put it up here, and it doesn't have a red line around the parks part, because this is the library's piece in red. You know the city's going to be acquiring this at some point, and Wayne will give us an update on when, and just kind of that's moving along, but we're going to acquire it. We, of course, always intended to give it back to the people who now use it, i.e. the library, the library is on lease or on BLM land, and of course the parks is on BLM land. And then one of the other questions, and I do would like an actual response from you tonight, this triangle right here where the horseshoe pits are, Steve, and I don't know how much you debated it here, and I don't know if you had approved it, so I guess Steve wanted that little triangle for like an events, concert, outdoor, I'm assuming outdoor, it's a small building.
Art gallery.
An art gallery. you know, I've not heard you guys really talk about it. We don't have any money budgeted for that. So I thought I better do a check-in with you, because this could have been a priority of the council, could have been something that you guys were funding, working on. I haven't found that anywhere. But the Parks District would like it, and they're going to, of course, have the land just north of it, the rest of the park. And to me, it looks like a triangle of excess property that really serves the city of no interest unless you have a use that I'm unaware of. But you need to give me my marching orders as a council, because this MOU assumes that's going to the parks.
Yeah. I think that, as I recall, the previous city manager discussed it just as a, I took it almost as an abstract idea that that could be used as a arts gallery and maybe obtain some of the land next to it. But there was never really, as I recall, any discussion by the council at all about what was going to be done with that. And if I'm
you're accurate.
Okay.
Okay, so what I thought first, let's hear from Wayne. We'll go down through our issues, but so that was just kind of the opening. And then we'll hear from Wayne on kind of how things are going. Then we hear from our two directors, and then kind of we'll go through number one about that triangle, and then number two, do you want to enter into an MOU then with these two prestigious groups? Right. So maybe if you have Wayne come on.
Wayne, would you like to give us a little input on? And I'd like to introduce Wayne Kinney. He is from Senator Wyden's office. Been very instrumental in the movement of this land awards to the city and to the recreational land out here, and we're extremely appreciative. Wayne?
Can I do it from here?
You can do it from right there.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. You know, I was just thinking yesterday that we're in the middle of August and the bill has a deadline in September, and so I called Ken up to say how it was going, and so it all just sort of fell, and here I am. I talked with Carol Minkowski of BLM this morning. What she told me was pretty much the same as you've already been told, is that because of a couple of issues that have popped up, they've had to delay. They have a target now of the end of the year. And I asked why, because the bill says September and they were working on it, and I think they've been pretty diligent on this. But it turned out that because of the sequester, they didn't have the funds within the BLM to do the archaeological, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, study, the cultural study. And so they had to go to another agency to get help with that. And that got everybody confused, and it took them 3 months to get through the paperwork. So they've now got through that. My understanding is they're out there doing the checking now, may have even have completed, and but it did cost them 3 months. But they, you know, I've been impressed with the BLM about how seriously they've taken this. And I think they'll be done as soon as they can. So that's basically all I have.
Okay. Thank you very much. I would like to add that I did get some information from Commissioner DeBohm that the very same information that you just revealed to us came to the county, and the letter was forwarded to Teresa from property.
The city? Or the county?
County, yeah, Teresa at property management for the county, to that effect.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he would not send a copy of that letter to the city. So, okay. Thank you. And with that,
Maybe have Todd talk about the library, about them wanting that land. They like possession of the land under their building.
There we are.
There you are. In the parking lot.
Yes. Currently, we have a library there. That's basically, our interest is pretty simple. We're interested in the land that our building's sitting on. And we've had a great partnership with the Park and Rec District for many years, sharing that piece of the land. The other piece, ultimately, that gets us out of the Park and Rec business, we actually sublease the park piece.
Why don't you go a point, if you want, so
sure.
Kind of worry about you want the property line when this gets redrawn.
This area right here, we currently lease from BLM, and then we sublease this to the parks district. So that's kind of a side benefit for us. We get out of the parks business. I like to say we're great librarians. We're not great parks people. And so that's kind of where we are. BLM is asking that they want assurance from the city that you'll honor the current lease agreement, that you won't evict us as soon as they turn over the land, and that's why they're asking for this MOU, and that's why I had our attorney start drawing it.
Okay. Todd, could I ask you a question first, and then I'll come on. Are you interested in more than the idea that of the property that the library stands on, for instance, where the park grass starts and goes south? Because you've made the comment that honor the lease agreement, and the lease agreement's for all that whole property.
Right.
But aren't you primarily interested in the property that that's the parking lot and that and that the library sits on?
Basically, where the parking lot is. And the building. Currently, when we're sublease, we have a markation of there's a fence right there.
That playground equipment and stuff you don't want there. Really
right. Trees. Now, where our interest is right pretty, I can't really tell where the fence is, but I think it's about right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a sidewalk there.
Yeah. Yeah, right where the sidewalk is.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy?
Mine was basically the same. I'd understood that the rest of that land would then be given to Park and Rec or turned over to them, you would maintain it. Okay.
Any other question? Greg?
No.
Karen? Stu? Conrad?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just not much to add. I mean, Todd's been wonderful to work with us. So has the county and yourself, Rick. And basically, we have never had a disagreement about where that line should be. We're taking care of programming all that area now, so we'd love to have that. We've got some really special ideas for that triangle area that will be dedicated to youth, and I think it's going to be a really good benefit to us if we can put some that we've got in mind right there, because it will be sort of a centerpiece in for youth. And it's been, we've received a petition of over 150 kids' signatures for wanting to do something in that area. So I think that, you know, it's a win-win if we can get it. So that's really all we have to say, other than thanks for having us here.
Okay, council, any further comments?
So maybe I'd like to, if you have a motion on the triangle, just so it's on the record, just so we clear up anything, that you would, would support transferring that to the parks.
Short of the library. Right?
Well, yeah, no, the other part you've all been clear on is,
okay,
it's, you know, there was, I think one of these was drafted almost with the triangle, right? So it went further than you just said.
Okay.
It might not have come here, but
yeah,
externally,
right,
it was
okay,
headed to them, or call us.
Or call it the triangle.
So I just want to make sure that, because I wasn't here, so.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to...
I move that the city enter into this MOU to give what is called the triangle to the Park and Rec District.
I second it.
Motion and a second to give the triangle area outlined in the MOU to the Park District. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous to and approved.
Okay, so the MOU, what I'd like you to do is basically support it, because Todd's board hasn't voted on it yet, and your board hasn't.
My board voted on the previous one and said we'd accept it, and then it changed. So
yeah.
As soon as we get the new one.
I have it to Jeremy for just a quick review. I don't see any problems. What I do is bring it back in September, our September meeting, and then it would kind of make its rounds, so and we'd approve it. If you bait, you know, it's just a MOU kind of formalizing the three of us that, and because then they're going to go out and have to have it surveyed and have it replatted and everything. So
okay,
that's all going to be part of the process. But because we don't have the triangle now, they get to pay for that.
Okay.
That was the other thing. If we were a partner, then we had to help pay. So, and they're aware of that. We had that meeting a few weeks ago.
And so you're accountable to
just,
consensus?
Yeah, I mean, are you okay with entering into an MOU and moving forward with these folks? And
yes.
We're just waiting for Jeremy's approval.
Okay.
You know, another attorney drew it up, so you know how that goes.
It's the consensus of the council then to follow that path.
Sounds good. We'll do it. We'll make it happen. Great. Thanks, everyone. Okay.
And item 8 on the agenda is Bentley Butte Park Water Usage Agreement, contribution amount for monthly water bill. I think the council has a staff report to that effect. Staff?
Yeah. This one's a little more complicated just because it's a newer, or it's kind of a newer issue, older issue. You'll know that a year ago, well, actually it was October, looking at the minutes, but close. You guys had approved kind of just, there was no MOU or anything, but you had agreed to provide water for a couple of years at Bentley Butte Park. Their well had went down, and then they suddenly got a $600 bill or something for a month, and they were used to a $50 bill. And so then that caused them to say, uh-oh, now what's going on here? I went back and did some history, and for the record, because I felt I needed to know that. I've heard anecdotal stuff, but I just hate that kind of thing. I know everyone else knows it, but I always like to go back and look things up. So there were several little steps along the way, and I included it in your little packet. In December, or in 2008, the districts came to the Parks District came to the Water District and asked that their number of EDUs, which is how they pay sewer and water, you pay per EDU, you pay 27.
For both of them?
No, each differently, so.
Okay, sewer is 27 and water is 27.34 per EDU.
So 54.34
together.
Is together. So they had said they needed help financially at that point. And so the district voted, and you will see it in the minutes, and I put an arrow by it. It was under the donation of Christmas baskets. It just kind of was tagged in there. That sounds like Congress. And Ashley's our historian now, so. You'll notice down there the Barb Ann would like the board to consider options for helping the Park and Rec. Ron made a motion to reduce the EDUs at each building owned by the Park and Rec to one for 6 months. Well, that was in 2008, and it has stayed that way for 5 years. So there's no approval for doing that. There has been no approval. It was voted on, and that's the only way you waive these kind of things legally. We have ordinances. It just continued. That saves the districts about $1,000 a year. It was an arbitrary number. It was just reduced. The districts did it, and we inherited the districts, and that's how it was. Really no more to that. Then the well went bad. It was picking up too much sediments and things, and so the well went down. And that was May of 2012, based on our water records, because I can tell when the water was at this level, usage shot up. But as they were using wells, of course, it was just going to the drinking fountains and bathrooms and things. And Ashley had printed me out, so I had a 2 years look at that. That didn't go then. So they came in and some sort of an agreement was reached. Remember, we were taking over July 1. We were under an agreement that nothing could be done without our approval. Remember, 3 months before the transfer, we were under an agreement signed by all parties that they couldn't do anything that affected anything and so on. This was 6 weeks before we took over. There was some sort of verbal agreement that was not approved by the board or discussed at the board. But management at the district waived the overage. Because once they shut down the well, they were still watering, so the bills became several hundred dollars, and some sort of gentleman's agreement was reached Again, nothing approved or formal, but that was all just waived. Well, then we take over. Well, then it came up in discussions here and said, well, we're just waiving that, and what do you want to do with it? And rightfully so, Steve said, we can't waive that. So that's when the bill went out to the district the first time, and they suddenly, unbeknownst to them, they get this $600 water bill. So that then, and that came along in August or somewhere after that. Then they came, that's when they came in and asked you people to go ahead and waive the water bill other than the 50-some dollars. And you then agreed to do that for 2 years. Okay? Then, and Vic Russell's not here, they've got Sun River and some other groups wanting to help build some new, I calling them sports fields, because I whether they're soccer or they're baseball, Little League, whatever, but they're going to build some more. I think Little League.
They're going to renovate what's out there.
Renovate what's there. Okay. They're going to do some more work. And the Sun River folks wanted to make sure the city, are we still going to participate? Because the districts, they don't have the money for to pay all the water bill. They're going to go out and expand these fields. And they were concerned financially they'd get a $10,000 summer water bill. So Bob asked me, and I guess, I don't know if you started before I got here, talked to Steve maybe about more of a formal agreement.
My first city council was meeting was the night that I walked in here and you guys approved that water bill, and that was the first time I was here, so it was already done before I got here.
Okay.
But yeah, then I did speak to you. Can I add something to this really quick?
You bet.
Because the thing about it is that we have Sun River, the owners, the general manager of Sun River came to our board meeting last night. We've got Sun River, we've got Ewing Irrigation, we've got Vic Russell, some other people. What their real intent is that they want to make Findlay Butte the tournament spot for little kids baseball in this whole region. And so when you say, you know, it's about water and it's about paying that. But what it's more about is bringing people here and the money they're going to spend in this whole community if we can create this dream that we have. And we're just being very judicious about the fact that, okay, we got people that are ready to put in irrigation systems, we got people that are ready to help us fix the fields, but if we don't have the water to do that, we're wasting our time. So I think it's a big picture about tourism and being a location. It's one of those things we talked about, Ken, where you identify your community by certain things. And what we want to do is be the tournament place for this. So
yeah, sorry. I mean, well said. You'll see my recommendation that where we take some of the money from, it is tourism based. So
yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. So that's kind of where we are. Said we need a formal. At number one, I felt that, you know, we need to formalize we just can't go from 4 EDUs to 1 EDU. That was a 6-month agreement that long expired. So that needs cleaned up. And then, of course, they want kind of a longer, more formal agreement on the other deal that was 2 years and we're 1 year, basically we're done with 1 year, so you had 1 year left on that. So that's kind of, call that the history. And all of the backup of the minutes of the districts and the water bills and noticing when the water bills change are all attached in the history lesson. So that's where we are. The request, they haven't requested an amount, they just want participation and support and probably more of an MOU, I thought, kind of something, a simple MOU with them that would explain, you know, how much we'd like to contribute and so on. So, any questions, comments at this point on the history or where we are with Findlay Butte from today backwards?
Council?
And then we can talk forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Forward.
You.
Go forward. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. Please.
The agreement that you're asking for, is that for the new fields also, or does it just pertain to the Findlay Butte one?
It's all Findlay Butte, so it's all in the same complex. So it would be fixing up whatever they end up doing. One of the things I'm kind of a believer in, you're going to make a contribution, and we're contributing to the Parks District. We know what their thing is, whether or not it's to water grass he planted last year or to water half of it's for new grass next year. It's more of our level of support for the reasons he said. It's for kids, it's to bring people to the community, it's a contribution, goes into their general fund, and they ultimately pay the water bill. So it is, I guess, for new fields and
well,
existing.
It's existing fields at Finley Butte that have become unplayable throughout the last few years because they had no irrigation on them, so they turned to dirt and weeds. And what we've got them in shape right now, we have a great farmer that came up from Crystal Valley. He dissed the whole thing. We've got it nice. And we have them playable, but if we don't put grass down, we're going to lose them again before next year. And so we have sort of a short window to get grass down, but with Sun River's help and this irrigation company that wants to put irrigation in the ground for us, and they will bring out temporary big sprayers to put water on the ground first, then we can have those fields ready so they're sustained through the winter and we can play in the spring on them. Otherwise, you know, we're worried we're going to lose our partnership with these guys who have been waiting for us now. Because, you know, we lost Steve, and so Rick and I have been working on this since he's got here. But, you know, they want to see this happen, but we just don't want to get ahead of ourselves. We want to be partners with you on this and see if you can give us some help so that we can ensure that the bills get paid for the water. And once we put this improvement in, it doesn't go like it did years ago where it did a nice job and then nobody took care of it and it all blew up. So, you know, our goal is to have a sustainable park out there that will create tourism dollars and be a benefit to the public. But we're not going to build any new fields. We're just going to fix the ones that are there.
So the...
how much money are we talking about?
Well, I think I'll get there. That's in this. I wanted to see what kind of questions, comments you have. I felt that any agreement, there's a couple things I think we need to do more as in a broad policy whenever we donate, and I have talked to the mayor a little about it, and that is we want to not get into the practice of just waiving fees or changing fees arbitrarily, because number one, it's really not, for a lot of me, it's arbitrary. It's non, you can't track it very well, just like the fact that they've been saving $1,000 on their EDUs. They didn't know it. We didn't know it. No one on this council knew it. Because it was done with another board. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it was done 5 years ago. It's lost in the shuffle. So that $1,000 benefit, they didn't know they were getting, and you didn't know you were given. And it's just lost because it's just kind of erased from the system. It's really, it's lost revenue. I mean, theoretically, our revenue every year should have been $1,000 higher. But it just kind of goes away. It's very dangerous for all these reasons. I mean, nobody knows where it is. So I think the philosophy should always be is you charge the fee, whatever the fee is for whatever it is you're doing. Then you make a donation or contribution back to offset it. Then it's very transparent. It shows we wrote a check to support the Parks District. Now, the reason we did it is the discussion we're having here, but it's accountable for everyone as people come and go. So that's my preface on it, and so we need to clear all that up at whatever number you decide, because the one thing I just gave recommendation, you guys can pick the numbers. That's one of the things you get paid for. The other thing, I think that we should tie something to whatever length of term you decide. We need them ultimately on wells, well water, because the more we put, basically irrigate grass, large areas of grass, like school fields or big sports fields, that's expensive, because we pump into a big water tank, then we run it through pipes. And big users of water need more volume in the pipes. Then as we have to go out and buy new water, find new water, we have to, what's called mitigation. I won't go into that because that's confusing for people, but we're going to have to mitigate. It could cost us to go out and buy the water we could need for the next 20, 30 years, it could cost $1 million. And when you're giving water on fields, that's like 20, 30, 40 houses. See, and you start adding it. We don't, and since they can't, they have a well. They used it up until just a year ago. Behooves the city. It's actually cheaper for all the public here. Let them get that well running and use the well. Because that's water we don't have to send through our system. It delays that $1 million worth of purchase and so on. So that's kind of another thing I would tie it to. So my recommendation incentivizes them a little bit to do that. If we paid their water bill, 100% of the water, which obviously is not in the cards, they would never worry about a well because we're paying. And also, as I told Bob today, that some of these well water rights you lose if you don't use them in 5 years. And I don't know. We had some discussion that's true in that kind of a well. It's a commercial, but you don't want to lose it because they're getting harder to get. They're talking about more permitting. I would say get that well fixed in the next year or two so that you don't ever bump up against. But the amount of grass they're going to water up there, they want a well. So those are kind of the two, I guess, parameters. So my thought was on the EDUs, we need to, if it was calculated, it needs to go back to the four EDUs, which is what it was set at. And then we would then donate back the $1,000. So it shows they pay us. They're gonna basically pay us $1,000 and we give you $1,000 back. So it's a wash, but it shows in the records and it's accountable. Okay?
I agree.
The funding source for that, as much as I hate to, but I think it's okay to do some, I would go ahead, it's been coming out of the water fund basically. I would go ahead and say it's we should establish some sort of little donation line in our water utility and our sewer utility for contributions to some groups. We have to be very careful about not going there because it has several hundred thousand a year of income. It could become an easy place for future councils. I know this council would never do that. But future councils could find that as a place to grab easier because it's not general fund. And that's what the city of Portland is in trouble for right now. And it's all over it. And I'm very sensitive to that. So I think that it's fair to say if we spend $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a year for the public benefit out of the water fund or something, that you can justify. But you start getting much further, you really are getting into, I think, dangerous territory. So they've been taking it for 5 years out of there, so I thought, well, I guess we could, that's probably manageable. I put in the email to you guys and I sent out the this history, or I think I sent you three emails. The other one was some options. You know, you need to come up, we're giving about $2,500 right now to, it should come out between $2,500 and $3,000 is what you're giving them this year for water, besides the
thousand. On the 2 year?
On the 2 year agreement, you're giving them about that. We don't know yet because the year's not done.
Right.
But it, looking at the bills, it should come out to about that. And Vic did an analysis of how much water he thinks they're going to need in the future, and it would be, he figured about 9 to 10, and I say 9 to 12, and that's just estimating. Who knows? That depends on your water, your sprinkler heads, efficiencies, and weather. So I thought if you did 2,500, that'd be about 25% of their water bill. Now, if they go to wells, of course, that would drop significantly, and we'd probably, that'd be about pay the power bill or something, and they'd end up with, they would save $7,500.
Yeah, power bill out there.
Yeah, I bet. So something along that line, again, it's your baby on that number. And then I used an example of the funding sources of the 2,500. He mentioned it, and I didn't know he would. Tourism, they talked about bringing in kids and youth and folks from out of the town, their tournaments, fill the motels. So I thought taking $1,000 out of our tourism fund, you have $10,000 budgeted. We haven't yet spent the dollar because the year just started. You've got to be careful. That's the same fund you're going to do the rodeo,
Frontier Days.
Hot rod deals, you name it. I mean, so there's
Halloween.
So you just have to always be careful in the first 30, 60 days you know, so I took 1,000 in my recommendation out of that tourism. The other 1,000 coming out of the tourism community fund. The community fund does not have any restrictions under the transit room tax rules of Oregon. We put that money in through the general fund. So it's money with no encumbrances. It's a community fund. We can spend it on anything. The $10,000 item is coming from transit room tax. So therefore, that has the restrictions of it has to be used for things that promote tourism and bring people to your community. And I'm glad he said it on the record because that's perfect. That's what we will do. I don't think you could say all of it because, you know, a lot of it's going to be our local youth. They're here anyway. And, you know, you don't know where that line crosses. So, and then 500 was to come out of our water fund for this part. And then next year in our budget, we would establish kind of a water fund for $3,500 to $4,000 for this kind of stuff. So you basically funded out of transit room tax, $1,000, tourism fund, which is general fund for $1,000, and $500 of water fund, i.e. coming from water users. That's the $2,500 plus the additional $1,000 we'd be, but that's a wash. They've been getting it even though they shouldn't. But we're giving $3,500 worth of benefit to the person. That is my recommendation. And then you take it from there, folks.
Okay. Council? Kathy?
I hate always playing catch up with some of these. As our budget stands now, we would be taking $1,000 off top in the community fund for this.
Yes.
And next year we could adjust it to take that in, increase our community fund.
Well, you'd have to take the community funds, its source of revenue is the general fund, which mm-hmm. is property taxes, franchise fees, basically. So theoretically, you would have to take the $1,000. If you wanted to add another $1,000, say go to six, mm-hmm. to keep it whole, you would have to cut something else in the general fund by $1,000 or hope for revenue increases.
Because it looks to me by the time, if we take out 2, 3, and this is, let's see.
You're just taking out $1,000. What are you talking about?
That would be four. I'm trying to figure out in my head that the ones I know about, the high school, the football.
All you have $15,000. I would look, I'd add two together. You have $15,000.
Okay. Okay.
So if you've been giving, how much to the rodeo?
They requested $4,000.
Well, that was a request. We have never given that. I'm saying what did
we
give
them last year?
$1,500, I think.
And did we give each of them $15,000?
Frontier Days got $2,000.
So, okay, if that's the case, $3,500. With this $2,000, that's $5,500. That leaves you $9,500. I mean, the trick-or-treat's a couple hundred. And, you know, you gave a couple hundred to a school group, you gave a couple hundred or 300 to another school group. And, you know, you... It's competition for dollars. And so you do have to get this part of why you're here. It's a value statement of what you want to see money go to. Yeah, I mean, it's a toughie.
Yeah.
I think Kathy's done well, if I can interrupt a moment, Kathy, in laying this out, because I don't think any of us have pulled these numbers together, and it's good to pull them together right here because we already see $5,500. That's almost in effect committed. So we've got to worry about the rest of the year, and this is only the second month.
That's correct.
So, but it does put a sort of a number on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Stu, any comment? Karen? I mean, we have the city manager's recommendation based upon what's transpired in the past and where we are and some of the considerations for money. So, Greg?
Yeah, how long are we going to make this agreement for?
Well, that, you know, I said 3 to 5, you know, and then of course they can always come back. My thought was, we give them 3 with no conditions. if they go out and get this well, this is the bait, you go get the well, we continue that for two more years, so you'd be committed for $2,500 for up to 5 years. It could be $7,500 or, you know, it's 3 years, or it could go to $12,500. The bait for them is, if they got that well done, say in a year or two, we'd be ended up giving them $5,000 to $10,000 to go for that well. It behooves us, as weird as it might sound, it behooves us to get that, let them, so it's a way of helping us and helping them. We don't want them on our system.
No.
We really don't.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
That's all right, I understand. It's all about infrastructure.
Well, okay, are there any further?
Well, I'm just thinking, because I have kind of the same thing at home. I've got, for the house, you know, the same, but I have a private well for irrigating over an acre. Mm-hmm. And I think I use my personal to water the dog's area because he likes that good stuff. You know, and it does make a difference when you have a private well to do irrigation. And, you know, if the city's going to say, Park and Rec's going to say, the taxpayer's going to say, and the future is going to say, by the water rights that we're going to have to go out and get, we could prolong that. So I like the idea of your incentive to go out there as soon as you can to get the well, and all that money that the city would be able to offer to go help do that.
So 5-year agreement,
I think,
with that.
Well, it's a 3 to 5. They
well,
get
three.
Three. They get the other two if by then they're on a well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe you could ask them what their thoughts, just so we know the board's here. And
well, I'm always, maybe should let my words here. I get really emotional about the fact that we're here to serve kids and the public, just like you guys are. And I just want to say what I see this conversation is, I love the fact that we're working together, but I've been here for a year and I love the neighborhood, I love the community, but the one thing I hear every day still, and we're busting our hump to try and change that, is kids don't have anything to do. And this, I hear you say, well, we're going to get Frontier Days, this morning, we're going to rodeo. Those are great events, they're wonderful events, but they last a week. This is something that's going to last kids throughout their youth. And I think that's just something that's important to say. And you may not want me to say it, but I just feel like it really is important. It changes their life. So, you know, you've got the number one athlete in the world, Ashton Eaton, that just played on these fields as a kid, and now he's, you know. So it makes the difference in their lives, and I think that's just something I wanted to know. But I would, you know, would love that incentive to be able to look at putting a well in or getting the one we had back up and running. I think it's a great idea, and I'll turn it over to Robert if he's got anything to say.
We've got to strike while the iron's hot. We have the commitment from Sun River and Ewing Irrigation, and we're going to get those fields in play. And if we don't do it now, then the opportunity is going to pass us by. So we really need this help to get it going now, and then we can look at preparing the well. But that's where we're at. We have all these people who are committed and are ready to commit, but without the help that we need from the city, it's just not going to happen.
Well, and I think you have that commitment.
Well, I'm just agreeing.
And, you know, there's others, you know, we've talked privately about helping the youth. You know, everyone in this community gets emotional about the youth. You know, I'm right there with you. So I'm in agreement that we jump on it while we can.
Anything else?
I have something. So this... $1,000, where is that coming out? Because which adding...
Oh, that would come out of water.
Okay, so that $1,000 also out of the water.
It yeah. could be water and sewer. There's one detail I can figure it out. Did we lower both water and sewer?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We will figure out internally how we do that.
And when the time comes for them to think about, you know, getting their well so they can extend the agreement, are we going to help them with the expenses? Is that something that we have to talk about now so we know in a couple of years we'll help them? Or is that something that in a couple of years we talk about when it's time for them to get to
well? basically in that, the thing is how we are going to help. By giving them the 2 years is basically handing them money to help pay for the well. So say they get the well going by maybe next year or the following, but they get that well done in the first or second year. Whatever's remaining up to five, because they're not having water bill anymore.
Oh.
Their water bill goes away because they're using a well.
So then they
can keep, what I'm saying is we keep sending them, that's why we're contributing to the Parks District. We're not paying the water bill, but that's the reason we're doing it. So once they no longer have a water bill,
then that money
stays in their general fund to help pay indirectly the well. That's my thought. It's an incentive of $5,000. And if they get it done in year three, it's $7,500. If they get it done in year two, it's $10,000 because their water bill's going to go away.
Okay.
So you're almost committing, you know, just depends on when they do it. Now, I know the cost of the repair. I know nothing about any of it. We don't want it.
I don't know the capacity of the well, if it's big enough to handle that either. So it's probably going to be a shared use for a while, and then we'll hopefully get something out there that can handle it. So
yeah.
Okay.
I was going to drop one thing over here. This is a broader discussion, which some of you verbally hear me, but I just wanted to drop. This is the Parks District, which it isn't shaped like this. Okay? If you look at the valuation of the city and the Parks District, they are 80%. And so let's just go down here and put us. We're 20%. So if the district spends a dollar to water a park, it doesn't matter what they do, they spend a dollar, it's divided between everybody in here. If you had 100 people to divide it by, we each put in a penny. We're paying that tax. Now, when we put another dollar in, it comes out of here. These 8% do not contribute to that dollar. So to a degree, you're double paying. But that's because it's here, it's important, it's a high value. That happens all the time with cities and counties, and we pay county taxes. But what I think is real important, then you take the water and sewer users. That's even a smaller box. So when we take a dollar out of the water fund, that's only in these people are paying. The rest of the people in Kegel, we have a councilman in Kegel, when we give $1,000 out of the water fund, you aren't participating in that.
I'm not even.
You're not.
But the revenue stream.
Well, but I'm saying that you. So it's important that you know that, and that's why you have to be so careful with the water and sewer fund. There's going to be all kinds of, well, people spend their money and time. We can break that down a million ways, but I just think you need to know that you all share, you all pay the same tax to the district. Doesn't matter if you live 5 miles down Bay Road or live in downtown. But when you put a dollar in, the guy on Day Road pays nothing. He does not pay nothing. He pays nothing directly. And then you get down to the water and sewer district. That's why I'm warning you, do not get carried away with this water, using water and sewer funds. Because what's the other complaint?
From
water, water rates and sewer rates are what?
Going up.
Yeah, too hot.
Really get a lot of pushback.
So you just look at the complaints I've shared with some of you, and I've gotten from the two big users, RV parks and things this last week, and the gentleman told me he thought he was going to have to shut down, go out of business, and you know, if because he's paying how much a month?
$1,400.
$1,400. When he has five RVs in there in the winter, and he gets $300 of space, plus he pays electricity, our water sewer bill doesn't even cover. Mm-hmm. So these people are pretty sensitive to, you know, where that money all goes. So that's why I tailored it toward transit room tax, tourism funds, and pushed the other as far as I feel comfortable. And we just, you know, that's just not a, be careful.
Okay. If there's not any further discussion or questions, I will entertain a motion to approve the city manager's recommendation.
then I'll bring an MOU back to you.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the city manager's recommendation. Any discussion?
Do we need to stipulate with the well improvement? Does that need to be in there?
I think
it's in there.
Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that the motion is approved unanimously. Thank you very much.
Well, great.
Thank you all very much.
I'm going to try to keep it simple. And
good, because I'm not very smart, so
we'll keep it simple.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. No, that's good.
Thank you, Council. And thank you on behalf of Parks and everybody here.
Yeah.
So thanks, Rick, for the great work.
Thank you.
Item number 9 is presentation of Fountain Splash or Heritage Park sponsorship request, Kathy Agan. Miss Kathy.
Okay, as most of you already know, Cohort 3 is this year's project, is the foam fountain with spritzers and a setting area where people can sit and enjoy lunch or whatever. And we are looking to see if the city would be interested in contributing to that. From the community funds.
Discussion, Council?
Is there a number?
Whatever. When they first brought this up, it was $900 to match what the county gave. So I'm just putting it out there. Oh, I see it. Don't shoot the messenger.
Is there anybody that has a recommendation?
I'll start debating.
Go for it.
How far are you along with?
They've got the tank in there. The water department has filled it up. Nothing's leaking. We look good to go ahead. I didn't read why they canceled the meeting tonight. Did you?
It's because Vic is not here to coordinate volunteers.
Okay.
And that's Vic's job.
Okay. So things are looking pretty good. I think financially we're doing pretty good. It will be, again, long-term, water, lights, whatever else they put down, garbage, the maintenance. But I believe the recreation district, the park and recs, are going to do part of that. So I don't know what to suggest.
Do you know what's the whole project going to cost? Do you know that?
$30,000, I think.
Do you know what you've raised?
No.
20.
It was 20, I think. I think it's 20.
Okay.
Between 15 and 20.
Okay. There was a point where we were saying the restrooms needed to be there. But Bob is also trying to get grants, so those automatically go in and we don't have to help with that. So,
I think we put the kibosh on the restrooms. So that's why I say I think it's between 15 and 20.
Yeah.
It was 35 with the restrooms, I remember that.
Okay. Okay. Do you want me to open my mouth?
Well,
I'd say if you could do $300, it would.
How about $250?
It would be nice. I just want the city to be. I think it would be nice if the city was part of this. I think it's going to be beautiful and wonderful when it's done, and we do hope that it brings more tourists to be able to sit and spritz or eat lunch. Or it's going to be fun. Even the trash cans are going to be gorgeous. So,
I know. I know someone that's helping with that.
Do you? So I think it's really a worthwhile project. Plus, it adds to everything that the previous cohorts have put in that area.
$250. I financially, would be fine. Again, it's, we know now, then we have $3,750 left, and plus $9,000 in the tourism fund. Then this would be harder to do tourism. Chamber of Commerce has watched that fund close.
Yeah.
The Chamber gave us $200.
Who did?
The Chamber.
So you were up by 50.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're down by 550 for the county, 650 for the county.
Where did that money come?
See, what's that box, though?
I know.
What's the source of that money? Did it come from Tony?
I have no idea where it came from.
Each county commissioner gets $50,000 to give out for community things of their choice. And Tammy has her 50, Alan has his 50, Tony has his 50, and my guess is that 900 could have come 300, or Tony did it. And that comes out of their $600,000-$700,000 lottery, video lottery payment that only counties get. Cities do not share in that.
Discretionary grants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's okay. A good donation.
All right, moving right
takes
along.
I move 250.
Been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to donate $250 to the Splash and Flash Fund or group. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Did you all vote?
Can I vote?
Yeah.
No, I'm part of it? Okay.
Sure.
I
thought you had, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to.
Karen, you do need to start voting, actually, because these are taped. I don't think there's no one hearing your votes. I mean, you need to say aye or no. The speaker isn't really the issue. The tape recorder. I mean, maybe I'm the only one not hearing your votes.
It's small, but
yeah.
I hear.
Okay, just make sure I'm all.
Aye.
Yeah. All right, we got the level.
Because I don't want to get to where if you have concerns over something, you're not sure. When you get too quiet, and people don't know. You went through something. I mean, you're saying you need to be proud of your vote. Get it out there. So, and if you're against something, be against it. So.
Thank you, Rick. Important.
Thank you.
The vote was unanimous.
Yes.
Okay.
Just real quick.
Yes.
For everyone, yeah, I'm up here taking pictures. It's because of Mr. Parker over here. There's going to be an article in the Rural Light, and they asked for some pictures, so that's why I'm up here taking pictures if anyone's asking.
You want to take one from out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's, I'm not trying to be disruptive or anything. That's why I'm doing it.
Okay, so. Item 10 is approval of ordinance number 2013-03, an ordinance relating to the City of Lapine's assumption of certain outstanding debt and assets of the Lapine Water District and related matters. Staff?
Don't ask me much about it. It is a requirement. This all came from Jeremy and the bond council. This is a requirement for our transfer that just takes a long time for the transfer of the loans with the USDA. It just is a process that never ends. But it's working its way through. But it's a technical thing that the USDA required, and it was written by our legal counsel and wants us to pass it.
Okay. Is there any council any questions past that? Hearing none, I will ask for a motion to approve ordinance number 2013-03, an ordinance amending ordinance number 2013-02, an ordinance relating to the City of Lapine's assumption of certain outstanding debt and assets of the Lapine Water District and related matters. It's a roll call vote, and I'll start with you.
Well, we need a motion first.
A motion.
And then the second, then the roll call. Discussion.
To
approve the ordinance as read.
I so move.
Good job.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Roll call vote.
Aye.
Roll call vote.
Roll call vote.
Kathy Hagan, council.
Yes.
Yes.
Stu Martinez, yes.
Greg Jones, yes.
Karen Ward, yes.
Opposed? Let the record reflect it was unanimous roll call vote for approval.
Good job.
Now, item 11 is Huntington Meadows Improvement Update, Streetlights and Roadblocks. Staff?
Oh, look, I got a picture of that just to let you see. Scott, do you want to tell them? This is one of our measures to work on Huntington Meadows was the traffic that comes down the Power Line Road from over on, what street, by Mint State, what's that street?
Heath.
Mint
State. They come off of Mint and end up on.
Over by Mint State, and there's a nice gravel road, or it's dirt, but it's well used where you can take more vehicles down it, that they follow that big power line, and then they turn and come into the tracks, they come in the gravel, and they're into Huntington Meadows on Heath. So the neighbors over there had complaints. You know, we've been trying to help out that neighborhood, and where street lights are coming, and so this came along, and I went out there and looked, and Scott and I met, and then we actually went and knocked on the doors, the neighbors there, talked to people, and they said they love it. And we went out with this man here, we put it at the end of his fence, so therefore, because if we brought it back this way, they were just going to cut through his yard. They're going to go right over all those boxes.
Yeah.
So by doing it down there, it's up against the trees and the fence, made it wide enough that you can rent your bicycles and other strollers and stuff like that to get in. You probably could bring your motorcycle through. We're not trying to stop motorcycles. That's not possible. Motorcycles can go anywhere. That's our first step. We'll see how that goes. If it works and there's other problems, we could do a little more. Scott, tell us how much that costs.
The concrete blocks we bought, Sunwest Ready Mix here in town, they were $35 a piece. Set them ourselves, so we didn't have a whole lot of money tied up in the project. It was very well received from the people, the neighbors around there.
We're going to put some chevrons on there, some yellow, black, striped things we're going to stick on just so that they look good and makes people see them.
$35 a piece?
Wow.
How many more do they have?
A lot. That's their leftover concrete. When you come back in, you want to get rid of it so they can pour these. When they've got a half a yard, then the next day you pour another half, they just, isn't that?
Yeah, you couldn't build those for $35. No. There's a full yard.
It's a yard of concrete. Yeah. My son-in-law sells them for $100.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know in case
you should have told the price, maybe.
But that's, maybe these were used, so we'll just leave it at that. But yeah. These guys, they were having fun loading those up and getting them over there. Awesome. So hopefully there's a close-up, and that's looking back the other way.
Streetlights,
that is still waiting on the agreement with Mid-State. That has never come down over here yet, so we can't actually place it. But we picked out the one that's going to go up, and they're ready, so it's just a matter of, I think they might have even ordered stuff. So Mid-State's going to reimburse us less, we've talked about it. They're going to reimburse us less than in the past.
Do you think it'll happen before winter?
Yeah.
Think so?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't, so. And their CEO said that their board was approving it, approved this new agreement, and so it was just working its way here, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Item 12 is sidewalk improvement, City Hall update.
You saw that, I think we sent out a picture with Scott out there and the guy doing some of that stuff, so they have been, they've surveyed, and it's moving along. We haven't done anything over on Huntington yet. That's kind of, this is a priority, get this one done. And so after they survey, then they got to go draw it all up and get kind of the contour of everything. Then it'll go to the kind of more of the design people. And so it's, who knows how much of that will get done before.
Okay.
We'll get landscape, but I would be doing it. It's possible if you get to October. October should be fine.
A comment there. I had a complaint the other day. A guy lives on 6th Street here, and he comes out here, and the trucks that park out here on this striped area blocks the view. He said it blocks the view of the traffic coming north, and he can't see to come out. And we need to do something, you know, the city ought to do something about this. And I was wondering if that is part of the way they're going to design that.
Well, it'll be channelized, number one. So you're going to have, right now, see, just anytime you don't have a curb, you can go anywhere. That's why the trucks can park, there's no curb.
Okay.
But we'll have a curb, and that's going to be shut out. They'll only have a 6-foot bike lane and maybe an extra foot.
Okay.
Maybe sticking in the road. So
that's
you'll,
what I mean.
The reason they're not doing it up there, they stick out.
Right.
But here, there's no curb.
Right.
That'll go away.
You also have the same problem at
McDonald's.
No, well, McDonald's is posted.
Doesn't keep them from doing
it. No, it doesn't. But at the mini mart, from the Pine Inn, is a big problem.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, some of that can be some of the stuff you do the sheriff when we do the.
Oh, yeah.
Put some big blocks out there.
Yeah.
$35 keys.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay, item 13 is committee recommendations, approval of planning director, consultant, and authorized city manager to negotiate a professional service agreement.
We had a committee.
Okay.
And who was our committee members? Raise your hands. On the plan. No.
Sorry.
We had three applicants, and we interviewed two. The other one was in Afghanistan, or he was in Iraq. One of the two.
Okay.
And was he in Iraq?
I think so.
Yeah, but he was going to be back. Now he is back. Actually, he just sent an email. He's just back now. But he was done early. But he has a planning degree and lives in Bend. Was looking for some work. And I told him, I said, well, you weren't here for the interviews, and you know, and he couldn't do a video thing, and so we just couldn't really. And he understands that. But he was going to call Heber maybe if she needs extra help. But we did the interviews, and you know, it was a good discussion. And I think both could have done the job. For sure, and the consensus was to go with Deborah, and then so I'd like you could let the committee members talk, but once you were done, just go ahead and you know, authorize us to enter into a contract with Deborah to be a planning director, and then we'll be back with an agreement.
Okay. Kathy? Okay.
It's fine with me. Move ahead. I'm
Stu?
All for moving ahead these days.
All right. Stu, any
comment? Well, I thought everyone, you know, interviewed extremely well. I think she's going to hit me again, but given. You know, Deborah's experience with already knowing where we've been, how we got there, and you know what the city wants to look for in the future. But that wasn't, you know, the only reason. You know, her background working with other cities, Redmond, Bend, you know, in the planning departments, okay, you know, extremely well into it. And there's also the enthusiasm. For myself, she was really enthused about it because it's kind of like her project. Lapine is her project. You know, she started it. She wants to nurture it and continue to watch it grow. So the enthusiasm was another, you know, good, strong selling point. But again, it goes back to her experience and her qualifications. So I didn't have too much of a problem. The other guy was good, but I just didn't have a problem with Deborah.
Okay.
You
went with Deborah.
Come on.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Council, any comments? Okay, hearing none. I would entertain a motion to approval of the planning director consultant and authorize the city manager to negotiate a professional service agreement.
I so move.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to to do as I just read. And any further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Karen Ward, aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's unanimously approved. And we'll move to item 14 is other matters. There's the cooperative improvement agreement, which is, I think, in your folder, in the Manila folder.
And on this one, what I would ask that you approve it, authorize the mayor and the city manager to sign after we get our legal counsel's approval. He's looked at it, didn't have any heartburn, but there is actually, he has to sign off on it. So, and he has not signed off yet. He said, so I want to, if you would approve it and authorize us to sign. ODOT wants to get this, as they cannot, till this is done, they can't start doing the right of way, which means buying some of the land from Taco Bell, because that road actually is going to, why, just let you know that the fence, for example, even at ODOT, will come down. The building, when you next time you drive down first, you'll see the building, then there's a lean-to that about touches the fence. Well, the lean-to's coming off, and actually the building, the fence will hit the building at each end. The building will be the wall.
Part of the fence.
That'll give you an idea of how far that's going over.
Nice.
And then over on the other side, it also is. So you end up with a much wider road, you got left turn lanes, all those things. So they cannot, under Oregon law, start till this is signed. And then if that gets delayed, then of course it's a delayed project, and then it could be not built next summer or fall, because they plan on building it August, September, October, get it done before winter. But you start kicking it out 30, 60 days, then, you know, it could take into the next year. So they would really like this done. I've given it to Jeremy. The only comment I had on it, which they fixed, was they wanted us to, of course, maintain islands that are out there. And I squawked at that, because I thought that looked like money and way out of our ability, and didn't want anything to do with it. They ended up buying off on taking that.
Okay.
So, and then the other thing I've been working on, of course, is the sidewalks and the widths and making them follow our plan. And that's, you know, they're moving that way.
Okay. Is there a motion to any discussion when I'm talking about that?
I saw just last week. I think this is so wonderful. I saw three kids down there, and maybe a couple of them were 12, 13, and they got across the street. They waited and waited, got across the street, and maybe a 6-7-year-old was with them, hesitated, and then all of a sudden tried to catch up. And I tell you what, the hairs on the back of my neck just, I thought, that's all it takes is that long. So I can't wait until this is done. It's gonna be wonderful.
Is there a motion to approve the cooperative improvement agreement and authorize the city manager and the mayor to sign the document?
Once it's approval by legal counsel.
Right, once it's been approved by legal counsel.
So moved. Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Karen Ward, aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that the motion has been approved unanimously. And we are at public comment.
Douglas Ward, 52657 Pine Drive in City. I don't want to sound like like an old Frank Sinatra movie, but I think it's about time that the city considers doing something with those two wonderful businesses we have at the north end of town on Highway 97, the wood carving person and our wonderful shop every day, rain, snow, or whatever flea market. I don't know what can be done or when it can be started, but I think everybody that lives around here and everybody that drives down that road has just about seen enough of that. That's a disgrace. That's the first thing you see going into town, and people say, gee, if this is Lapine, isn't this just wonderful? It's just beautiful. So
It's up, I don't know what you can do, when you can do it. Maybe you can refer it back to Public Works. Maybe you can refer it back to Planning Commission. I'm sure there's code violations all over the place. But I'm really getting tired of looking at that thing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Staff comments? Rick?
Well, we can start with that one. Code enforcement. So I'll give you a rundown on two or three, and then where we're heading quicker than we were maybe. But
see you later on.
The Woodyard Carver, whatever term he's called a carver. The county and I met last Thursday with the whole team, and we went through numerous issues of around town. And in that particular case, the agreement that we reached will be they are going to send him a letter that basically says these are the things that need to be done under their rules, and that they're, you know, you have to give them so much time. So he will get like 6 months. In the meantime, we will be working on to bring him into compliance on the various items. But at the end of the 6 months, he then falls under our rules. And which in that case, a lot of it's not that much different. And so we will enter into an agreement with him, a signed agreement when this is done. He says, you will do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he will sign it. We will sign it. And if he doesn't do those things, then you would go to remove, shut it down. And it will be specifics. It will be things like, you must have an ODOT access so that the vehicles park inside. You have to provide parking. There will be no camp trailers and camping on the property. Solid waste of refrigerators, cans, tires, all of that has to be hauled off. He will have to shield the fence, come down a little further, fix things up, and so some of the wood will be covered, and then in addition, he will have to follow the sign ordinance. And so he will have to have signs that meet our code. So those are the types of things. He has to agree to that. If he does not, then we will move forward on following the rules and regulations through code enforcement via the county and or city or both. So we actually have a decent plan. Nick Lelak was there, the code people were there.
Good.
We spent 2 hours on that talk. I'm spending a lot of time on codes and things. That's kind of interesting. Way more than when I was here before.
Any comments on the perpetual flea market?
No, I've not gotten into the flea market. That will wait until we have our own nuisance ordinance. We would have a hard time. We talked about it, but we'd have a hard time on that one. The half-built, or the building, the old restaurant down here, there's been numerous things, pizza parlors, the steakhouse, and whatever
Park
else.
Heaven, yeah.
Yeah. That one is more difficult. The county is sending them a letter and telling them, you know, you can't do anything. You have to get a demo permit if you're demoing, and if you're building, you got to get a building permit, of which they have none. There's rumors of possible bankruptcies and other things. So it's a little bit like a house. So the reality is, if in fact there's financial troubles and lawsuits amongst people, it will sit there. It does not meet the threshold of a hazard. In other words, it's an eyesore, but it is in fact locked up. Windows are intact. The doors are locked. And why you don't like it, and there's just issues. To get to the threshold of you know, a hazard is it just a high bar? And they just sit here, not getting it on that. So, it's really kind of just, that one's going to take a little while, and it's more really the financial condition of the owners, the agreements that those who did the tearing out had, and how does that all shake out. You know, is you know, I kept pushing them on it, and I think Nip and them said, Rick, you know, the government doesn't solve every issue. There's buildings that look bad, and people start tearing something apart, and they shouldn't have, and then people have, just like people get divorced, partnerships break up, and this stuff, just there's just, there, you know, you just can't run around in a panic over all this stuff. It's the fact is, we don't like it, but it's going to have to play its course. So, not much. I wouldn't look for too much there too soon.
Okay.
This is, I did take some pictures when I was updating pictures. This is the latest that some of you have noticed there. Now that's two trailers. These two people have called me, and this is the trailer behind them. This trailer was at some point pulled behind, and you see the cyclone fence, the mortuaries on the other side. This thing must have fit like a foot for each side of the fence of the trailer. This thing was pulled in there, and then it was decided that's where it was going to be dismantled. And that is the dismantling process that is going on. Here's the front of it. This is over on Bonnie Way.
Off of Hilly Butte.
Yes. I have talked to the owner. People of the DEQ met Scott and I today. They were here. They said, you know, there's really not a D. I mean, this is what you get into with codes. I mean, it's just nothing there. Not going to go there. There's nothing for them. The county says it does not require a demolition permit because of various reasons. You have a manager that is no longer a manager, who is one of the trailers right there, who doesn't like the owner. The owner says that's why this is an issue. And I told the owner, I said, well, I don't care who lives in the trailer next to it. And I don't care what their former job was. That's not a stretch to say that's kind of unacceptable. It's a fire trap. The fire department's been out there and looked at it. But again, just this community, the fire department doesn't do codes or anything. So the lady told me today, she says, like, well, all I need is another inspector out here because they all tell me we're not doing anything. You know, isn't that sickening? It should, I mean, that should bug all of you.
It does.
I mean, it should bug you.
Yeah, it does.
And I think that we need to do something. So I instructed Deborah McMahon to, and I talked to the county about it. This, you know, it keeps coming up. We don't have our own nuisance ordinance. And they can enforce them. Well, guess what? The county has a nuisance ordinance, and their nuisance ordinance would clearly clean that out. I said, well, then let's just take the county nuisance ordinance that's already been written, that everybody for the last 50 years in this county should have been following, adopt. Don't have to have 6 months of reviews, definitions. You take the ordinance that exists. And we adopt it. Insert City of Lapine, adopt. We then do an IGA with the County Building Department, Code Enforcement Division, to handle our, they will do our code enforcement. They're going to charge us $35 or $40 an hour, which is cheap.
They're really concrete.
No, yeah, I mean, and they then will handle these, and then they have the authority to go in. Now, in the next couple of years, as we want to start working through, if we want to tweak some, you know, maybe they say, you know, you can have 5 junk cars and we want it to be 4. But you know what? I feel you can live with 5. I mean, 4. I mean, we just need to get at it. And
I think that's great.
And so then we can, the sheriff, also the sheriff's deputies would write actual citations. They already know the county code. They feel better with county code. An IGA, they already have written. So that they could do some of this 6 months ago, and Nick says it's just sat there because that the administration at that time, you know, nothing moved forward. So he said it would be easy to resurrect. So we're sending it to the Planning Commission. You got emails on it, didn't you? Are you going to be here? They were going to take August off. Well, they're not. Next week, they're meeting. Right, Chair?
Yes.
Appreciate them stepping up. So that's the importance that I placed on this with our staff. That should make you sick. And I think all of you should say it is not going to happen in my city.
No.
It's not going to happen in my city.
I mean, really.
We can't let it happen.
You can't. There's no story. I don't even care. I don't want to hear a story. That's not acceptable. The Planning Commission though needs to vet it through, and then you guys will need to vote. You know, it could take us 30, 60 days. I mean, again, it can only go so fast. They'll have to approve it. Then we get Jeremy involved. Then it'll come here. But we're going to move forward on that so we can get it in place. So we'll have an ordinance that can be followed, can be enforced, and we'll have the county being our code enforcement officer. We don't have to go run an ad in the newspaper and train someone to be a handyman and try to figure that whole system out. One of the things we want to do with the sheriff in 2 weeks, explain to him that if we do that, the few that need to go actually to tickets, you know, make sure that he's willing. We want to put him on the spot. Are you willing to do that for us? Because they do it now, outside the city. And I think that they will. So they just keep that in our mind. So if you are supportive of us moving forward on that, it is already going to the Planning Commission, but I want to run it by you if you want us to stop. Well, obviously, we can stop, but.
I think there's more than consensus.
Yeah.
Proceed full speed ahead.
And check with your council.
I need to see some more. Absolutely.
I knew you guys would want it. I mean, but I just thought you have to see it almost. And, you know.
Well, like I say, pictures don't. I drove by it just before coming here, and yeah, it's disgusting.
It looks like he was saying, it looks like a wonderful challenge for the kids to try to climb and conquer.
Nails.
You know, it would be terrible.
Yeah. So I'm going to meet actually with the owner of this. And, you know, there's many other issues in that park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a glaring example. I took some other photos that are on regular camera, but I don't have my cord to download it. But yeah, there's another trailer in there that appears. I think it could be storage from looking at it, and the garbage sacks are outside on the steps, and then look, and the windows are kind of open and the door is kind of open, and I have a feeling that it's not habitable. So, and we got to work our way through some of this, but you know, this is owned by a person from Bend, and you know, and I start looking at these trailer parks around town. You got several of them.
Yeah.
And there's some upgrades that need to happen.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Look for stuff.
I think Ashley has some comments.
I wasn't prepared. Vicki Russell would like everybody to RSVP to the Dreammakers Banquet if you're going to go. The invitation's on my desk with her email address. And I don't really know a lot about the banquet. Can you give me the invitation?
The banquet is part of the Park and Rec Foundation appreciation event for the contributors. There will be contributors there from the $100,000 type to the $205 type.
They're going to try to raise money there.
No, it is not a fundraiser. It's on the invitation that this is not a fundraiser. Or I've been told by Vicki that it's not a fundraiser. It is strictly an appreciation dinner. And she said if you went to the Splash grand presentation event, it was going to be about 10 levels above that, as far as food, et cetera, et cetera. So I encourage you to go. It's on the 22nd, right? Or is it in September?
No, it's this month.
Why don't you grab the invite?
Yeah, please.
No, it's the 22nd, yes. I believe.
When
I keep bugging her. It's been sitting right out there every day. She's
I brought it. It was handed to me by Vicki Russell and asked to deliver it. So I made copies and I emailed it to all of the counselors. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted them to see that she had written everybody's name on the envelope of the invitation. So I put it out at the desk out there, counter out there, so everybody could see it.
It is on the 22nd.
Okay, there we go. Two more.
Okay, we go. Go ahead.
Okay, the sound system just settled yesterday. The folks came down, the lady came down who was looking at our sound system. She had to go, they actually did the system in the Shark. So there, and they did the new Nike U of O athletic building. So that's the company who knows their stuff. But they also do little stuff. And she said, you know, you could go buy some new mics, but these mics aren't that bad. You could spend another couple $100. And the wiring is works for anything. She feels the troubles upstairs. It's the amps. That's why you get the feedbacks. Something's just not right. So when they send a tech down to work on other jobs, they are going to go ahead and come here. And they said spend a couple hours messing around with the controls up there. She noticed lots of things that maybe looked wrong. And just adjust everything and see if they can get it. And then if they need to buy a new amp, that's all, you know. But as far as pretty much everything down here and the wiring getting there is all good. It's just going to be up in the amp. Get us back to where you actually do hear it. You know, you don't have, right now it really doesn't work. And then we get rid of that little tape right there, and it'll go into, and Patty came out, showed them our recording that's in the computer, which she can't use with this system, and so we'll get all that fixed. So anyway, we'll see.
Okay.
So sometime in the next month, they should be showing up. I didn't want to make them a special trip, 3 hours each way at the rate per hour. I figured, wait till they're going to be here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the other thing, and I would let, you know, staff could comment, what we did, at we today have started into our working on insurance, kind of the benefits and things that we need to do. You know, the staff, of course, came here with 1 year of the benefits that came from the districts, and some of those things went away, and then they voted to de-unionize. So we met today. They met without me while I was over at the realtor meeting. So I was at the realtors for an hour. Then I came, and then we talked, and we're moving forward on things. And so would you guys make any comments just to say something?
We talked about benefits today.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
No, I think we had a really good discussion about it.
I would agree.
You know, what was laid out there, I think we can all find something that can satisfy everybody's needs.
So I'll be bringing a proposal. Well, we have to pick.
We already picked the plan, and we have to submit that we picked the plan. We raised our deductible, our insurance, to make it more affordable with the cap, so that some of us could opt in to add our families, or cover the children.
Yeah. But what my recommendation to you will be is that we go to $1,000 is what, well, $1,000 cap. Right now we're $800 a month is what we put into the dental, medical, and everything, and raise that to $1,000. So they're actually getting it. There's $200 more going to those who require it. They right now are $250 deductible in the plan that you've had,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to go to $1,000 deductible. So what's happening is we're contributing more, but the rate per month drops. The difference between if you take $800 a month, which is what we've been, what we, when they came over here, and the family plan was $1,600. That's an $800 a month difference for someone that our entry level guy makes $14 an hour. You can do the math after taxes. It's impossible. It is flat impossible. So what this does, it brings the top one for the family for just medical was 11 something. Yeah.
13.
It'll cost him $250 a month if he wants to put his family on. So we're going up a couple hundred. He's going to contribute $250. So it's kind of meeting in the middle. And I'll give him credit. You know, I left them because we happen to have a lot of singles. The reality is that all three of the people you see sitting here won't gain much because they're not up at $1,000 anyway because they don't have kids and wives or husbands on their policies. She
I
will come close.
$1,000.
Because she'll add her daughter. So, you know, we had to actually go room. So then you've got the dynamics of, you know, if we went up to $1,200, it didn't make any difference. Scott doesn't get another dollar benefit. So it only helped one employee. So we kind of had to balance that. And You know, and like some people said, well, I'd rather have a 500 deductible because they want, they don't want to have to pay up to a 1,000, but then it made the family lie. So they each had to give and take, and they all shook their head. All five. We had the two other guys from Public Works here. So I think we did a good thing. And then we're working on some other, a couple other things. But so,
good.
You know, we're not just doing codes and things. These are some of the things that, again, no one knows are going on, but we're working on. And then lastly, tomorrow I'm having lunch with a lady that is interested in maybe helping doing some of our PR, could do a part-time finance, kind of finance manager. Because that's, I met with one person last week, and I'm just kind of meeting with some folks and then trying to formulate where, how financially to make it work and not overstaff us and all those things. So, and then I think that, and I got your email on, you know, my status and all of that, and I think that that's a good question. And I think that in September, we have the sheriff next month, or this month, but in September then, before then, I think we'll all have something figured out on the finance side. We need to get that figured out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of figure out how we're going to go, what goes from that quarter. So, anyway, so I'll see her tomorrow. I've never met her, talked to her on the phone and got her information.
Good.
So that's it.
Okay. Council comments?
I have just a couple, and I support Doug, and I'm glad we're moving forward on the woodcutters and the flea market, and I want to add the signage, because if I were coming into town with my children, the first thing I see are the woodcutters, the flea market, and the head shop sign. So it's just terrible. It's terrible. We've got to get that going. And I mentioned this last year, I know it's early, but just to have it in your minds, to follow up with that truck situation. The Sugar Pine Cafe, and what's the business, I keep wanting to call it?
The rental yard?
Peak.
Peak Performance.
Yeah, Peak Performance. When they do the snow plows, they bring all of that snow they get, and they put it on the corner of 97 and Finley Butte, and that's about an 8 foot or more huge pile of snow. And if you pull up to get on 97, you cannot see. So you either have to back up 10 feet and make a running leap to get across. So I don't know what we will do with that.
Is it because of Huntington Road takes right off there and there's no place to put snow?
I have theories. This isn't the place.
Okay. Well, then that might answer. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
We'll see. Because you need to get it down the road. You have a place to put it.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they put it on the corner of Huntington and Finley Butte rather than 97 and Finley Butte? There's a, that's a, an unused area in the parking space.
Is that
space.
The county doing that?
No, it's the employees of the area.
Oh, it's coming off their, them, their private right. Plowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Sugar Pine. And
oh, well, we
Peter
can
Bormans
we can talk to them then.
Anybody?
I saw.
Okay.
Because
it didn't get rectified last year.
That remind you, would you send me emails?
Okay.
Well, and on that though, even our contract snow plowers at the intersections need to be aware.
Yeah. Actually,
how much?
Most is well, no, because it is us. The county. Do they do? They do the main. They do Finley Butte, don't they? The county.
Well, any intersection.
Okay.
I mean, county, city, state, all of them need to be aware of that.
Make sure you give it visibility.
Yeah.
Good point.
Anything else, Ben?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Stu.
Oh, where to start?
Great.
No, actually. I don't have anything.
Okay. Greg?
Yeah, I just wanted to report we had two really, really strong interviews today with the prospective website builders. Both had great presentations. Could be a tough decision, really. And I just wanted to thank Rick for getting those blockades out. Those people have been hounding me for months. They got a terrible crime problem at that end of the street. So I want to thank you for that. We should be moving on that quickly.
Scott and them, they
thank you.
We're going to try to, on this code stuff, do that when we can.
Karen?
The mosquito problem was in great hands this year. No mosquitoes after the first time he sprayed. And the neighbors have loved it.
Mm-hmm. Was that everywhere, do you think? Was it mosquito down this year?
Yes.
That's good.
I think he missed Huntington Meadows for a couple of weeks and they started coming back and then he showed up again. Yeah. And yeah, one time and they were gone again. So.
Now we have, what are they, hornets?
That's what I've been hearing.
They're all over.
Hornets.
You can't go outside without, and they're mean. They just bite you for the heck of it.
Yeah. Grasshoppers too.
Not a grasshopper.
They're actually eating plants this year. I've never seen this.
We, over by us, we had no mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. He came through Thursday and it was raining. I was surprised that he came through and it was raining. But we've not had any mosquitoes other than an occasional one. And we've been able to use our deck totally. So I think it was just the year of no mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. And lots of cost for mosquito spray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might change that contract a little bit.
An escape clause of some kind.
Yeah, set up a minimum number of times, and then if it gets to where you can skip one, we can. In this contract, we couldn't. So I'd say, you know, because I think we had, I don't remember how many times, but pick 7 or 8 is guaranteed, so he knows he's got that much business. But then, if we need a 15, but once you get a above there, then we could say, because,
is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Mayor's comments. I don't have anything that I want to.
No.
That I want to get deeply involved in, so I'll leave it at that. And with that, unless there's any further discussion.
There weren't too much. We did get a letter out to the man on the cable that's got the trailer out there in the trees.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I worked on that with the county, and they've sent him a letter, and I saw a copy, and they stopped, and they said that under the rules under that, you know what we're talking, back in the trees, some of you have seen it. But
Cagle and Huntington.
Cagle and Huntington. Under the rules, you can stay, this is a little third. Now, 60-day period, so take 2 months, you cannot stay in an RV camp trailer for more than 30. So out of 60, you can't stay more than 30. It doesn't mean 30 in a row, it just means 30 days. Well, they've been there for 4 months or something. So they got a letter and said, now, the only thing is if they were to apply for a construction permit, then you can live in a camp trailer while you're building and get some extensions. But they have no applications for a house at this point. So therefore, they violated that. And then also, the sanitary, they're not hooked to sewer, and they've never applied for a septic system. So therefore, if you have a camp trailer in there, you have to assume that the sewage is going on the ground. So he has been sent as kind of the first courtesy letter saying, hey, you know, what's up? You're going to have to apply for a building permit for a house, which means you got to pay for it. So then the plans and pay. Or, so then that's went out.
Good.
Just comment on that on travel. As you're heading towards the Huntington Meadows subdivision, there's been a travel trailer on a lot there for longer than the past 4 years.
They're all over.
They're living in it, you know.
And my theory has been is that, you know, when you see this thing, you cannot get your arms around this in Lapine.
It's 3.5 acres.
Why? Well, I'm talking about the problems comes to codes.
No, I'm sorry.
This is a decade of code violation issues that have taken 100 years to develop. So I'm kind of starting with, you'll notice, I'm trying to do new ones. You don't. When you get one that's been there for a year or two or three, then you get into, I've already. It's grandfather. So one thing about it, you'll notice, what I'm being real firm on is the new ones. Because that, you can't argue that you're grandfathered, and we don't want to get them established, because once they get established, they don't like leave.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved. Second. Discussions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. All right, nice banner, nice.
You got all the shirts, sweetie.
Good colors.
High five.